Okay, today's mitzvah is mitzvah Taf Ayin Vav, 476. As we continue in Parshas Re'eh, today is the mitzvah in between the two mitzvahs about Shemitas Ksafim. Yesterday we did the mitzvah of the Isser of going and collecting a loan that passed over Shemitah. To Be'ezrat, next week we will do the mitzvah of the Aseh of forgiving one's loan. Stuck in the middle, the Sefer HaChinuch has a mitzvah Aseh, mitzvah Lingos Es Hanachri, a mitzvah to collect loans from a non-Jew. Meaning, what's the Chiddush? What's the chiddush of that? We'll see, says the Torah. What's the phrase in the Torah, as we read yesterday? This is what you should do in Shemitah. You shall forgive all the loans. You shall not go and approach and collect a loan from your friend, because it's Shemitah. And that which you are going to your friend, Tashmei Yadecha, the loan that you have to your friend, you shall forgive. So included and embedded in this pasuk is Es Hanachri Tigos, which obviously in the context of the pasuk means that the halacha of forgiving a loan does not apply to non-Jews. If you borrowed money lent money to a non-Jew, so then you are allowed to collect it from the non-Jew. The chiddush of the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch is that not only is it allowed, but it is a mitzvah. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, Shalolit in today's mitzvah, Lingos Hanachri, Sheyifra Ma Shehu Chayev Lanu. We shall collect a loan from the non-Jew, V'lo Nachmol Narachim Olav Harich Lo Hamilva, and not to have extra rachmanus on him, compassion on him, to give him extra time and not to repay. V'yalzeh Ne'emar Es Hanachri Tigos, V'chinamru B'sifri Es Hanachri Tigos, Zu Mitzvahs Aseh. This is the Shita of the Sefer HaChinuch following the Rambam. Mishar Shia Mitzvah, let's read the line, and then we'll have to understand what exactly it means. Mishar Shia Mitzvah, Shalom Nilman Afshar, what's the message of collecting the loan from the non-Jew? Interestingly, even though the context is one of Shemitah, it's a mitzvah that applies in general. There's a mitzvah to collect the loans from a non-Jew. If you look in the Rambam puts this halacha not in Hilchas Shemitah, but in Hilchas Malveh V'Loveh. It's a general one, but the message is, as we'll talk about, might be specifically related to Shemitah. Shalom nilmod nafsho seinu lachmol ularachem aleihem lamalo nimshach achar maaseyem achar etasam b'shum davar. Says the Sefer HaChinuch that the message of this mitzvah is to make sure that we stay away and we keep together with our own. That's the on the surface. On a deeper understanding of the mitzvah, especially based on context, I heard from my Rebbe of Rosenzweig, who said that it is interesting that the context of the Torah Shebichsav about this mitzvah is in the middle of Shemitah, meaning it's specifically collecting loans of a non-Jew that you would have forgiven the parallel loans by a Jew. What's the message? The message is that normally, is there anything wrong with collecting a loan? No, that's normal. That's business. We collect loans. That's what we normally do. But when it comes to family, we have to go above and beyond. And that is why when it comes to a fellow Jew, which is family, that's a higher level, the Torah says forgive the loan. I lent him $10,000. Why can't I collect it? Magiali, I deserve it. I'm not like, you know what, doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing? The answer is no. You cannot collect it because you must try to act on a higher level when it comes to family. That's the chiddush. That if I then do not do this only by a Jew, but I also do this by a non-Jew, and I forgive everybody's loans, then I'm undermining the special relationship that I have with fellow Jews. Chas v'shalom! We have to be compassionate to all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creations. All of my sabreishis. But when it comes to Jews, we have to be even higher, because that is considered family. And that's why we have to make sure that we have extra special behavior regarding them. A similar idea is mentioned by a Rashi in Maseches Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says there on Daf Ayin Vav Amid Beis that Hamachzir Aveda Lakusi, if somebody returns an Aveda to a Kusi, which might mean a certain type of idol worshiper or not idol worshiper, somebody who's not, actually I should take that back, not somebody that's not totally committed to the Jewish religion, Allah kasav omer l'man tzvos haravat hatzmeyah. The Gemara darshan is exactly how you get it from that pasuk. But what does that mean? Rashi there says, Hishva v'chaver kusi li'Yisrael. Umare ba'atzmo shehashavas aveda eina chashuva lo mitzvas bar'o. I'm doing something, Hashavas Aveda, out of, I'm doing the right thing. I'm not doing it as a mitzvah. I'm undermining the mitzvah element of it. That's the problem. Again, Lamaisa, if you could be Mekadeshim Shemayim, returning something to lost item to anybody, that's what we would Lamaisa say. But what's the message of Machzer Aveda Lakusi being something negative? Because it would be undermining the super relationship that one has between fellow Jews. It's the same idea here. That's the message of this mitzvah. Collecting loans. That's not something evil. Collecting a loan from somebody is not something evil. So that's what we are commanded to do. But we are commanded to do it exactly like I just said, according to the Rambam. It's a mitzvah because that will help prevent the undermining of the special relationship that we have amongst Jews. Who argues on this? The Ramban. The Ramban, the Sefer Chinuch quotes him, Ramban Zal Kasa, She'ein ze mitzvah zaseh klau. This is not a mitzvah zaseh at all. Aval inyan ha-kasav lahazhir alachem lebli Yisrael ba'seh v'lo zaseh. This isn't a mitzvah. It's an allowance. You're allowed to. The context of the Torah is that don't collect loans that have passed over Shemitah when it comes to Jews. So that means by non-Jews, you're allowed to. But it's a chiyuv, it's a mitzvah to do it? No. No, there's no such mitzvah. So the Ramban argues, where is this machlokas? This machlokas is found in Sefer HaMitzvah. So then we'll expand on this. In Shoresh Shishi, in the sixth Shoresh, as we know, the Rambam's 14 Shoreshim that he has before Sefer HaMitzvah, says the Rambam, HaShoresh HaShishi, Shahamitzvah Sheyeba Aseh Velo Saseh, Ro'i Limnos Aseh Sheba Yemitzvah Saseh, Velav Sheba Mitzvah Lo Saseh. The Rambam says, there are three kinds of overlaps where you can have an Aseh and a Lo Saseh in a mitzvah. On the one, the first one is im sheyeh ma'aseh ben ma'aseh mitzvah zaseh v'yovah olav yavro mitzvah lo zaseh. The first one is where it's one and the same. For example, Shabbos, doing a malacha on Shabbos, I violate a lo zaseh. Not doing malacha is an aseh of Shabbason. That's the first type of aseh and lo zaseh, where the exact same idea: you do it, it's a lo zaseh. You don't do it, it's an aseh. Number one, or eating on Yom Kippur. Eating on Yom Kippur is a mitzvah zaseh, and not eating on Yom Kippur is a lo zaseh. Fine. Then you have two other examples. Sometimes you have an aseh before a lo zaseh. For example, says the Rambam, if somebody is mosi shemer on a woman, what does it say in Kisei? Say, Bezrim will get there. Velosi elisha, he has to stay married to her. And then, lo yuchal shalcha, he cannot divorce her. So there's an aseh and a lo zaseh, counted as two separate mitzvahs. And then, of course, you have the opposite, what we call lavanita glase. There's an iser daraisa to leave over karbanos, not eat it in time. If I did, I have to burn it. Aseis and los aseis. But it says the Rambam, you have to count each one separately. There's aseis and there's los aseis. Says the Ramban, right there in his comment on Sefer HaMitzvos, I think this is a big mistake. I think the Rambam counts some aseis that are purely los aseis, and some los aseis that are really just backhanded ways of looking at the aseh, says the Rabban. Old b'mitzvos achiros ta'abohen arav. Kagon, the two examples that he gives, lahavos lanachri beribis, right, that's a mitzvah that we've discussed, lending a non-Jew with interest. Shneamar, the Rambam counted as a separate mitzvah aseh daraisa, the Chinuch follows him, and also our mitzvah, es hanachri tigos. Ritzoni lomar, says the Rambam, these aren't mitzvos. Shalomana b'minyanu b'lavin abohen mechlal aseh haniskarim. Not, no, it's an allowance. It's the opposite of the halacha that applies to Jews, the isser of collecting from Jews. But it's not a separate mitzvah. But again, that's the Rambam. The Rambam, the Chinuch, counted as a separate mitzvah to emphasize to us the importance, says the Chinuch, of creating and keeping the unique relationship amongst Jews. That is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. Finishing up now, says the Sefer HaChinuch, V'l'heges mitzvah zu b'chol makom v'chol zman, b'zachar min akevis. Right? This mitzvah applies to men and women in all time. V'over aleha, v'herech zman per onom in an achri. What if somebody lets the non-Jew go, forgives the loan, or gives him extra time? But why? What if a person's life's in danger? It's going to violate the Issa Daraisa. What if for some other reason? Well, if I don't collect this loan, if I'm nice to him, then he'll be nice to me and he'll be nice to the Jews and something good will happen to the Jewish people. Then, of course, it's okay. The only isser is if you're doing it purely outs a good heart, and there's no difference between Jew and non-Jew. That's what he is saying. Again, this doesn't mean chas v'shalom to do anything negative to anyone. It just means, just like a family member. What, you're going to charge interest to your brother if you lend the money? You're going to charge, you're going to make, if your brother, you know, can't really pay back, you're going to force him to collect? No, he's your brother. So that's the message of the mitzvah. Okay, this is the mitzvah. So again, this is, gives us an opportunity, this mitzvah, of mitzvah lingos es hanachri. And the first reason that we said, the second idea that we've been talking about is to keep the unique connection between Jews. But the Sefer HaChinuch says, the first idea is that for us to teach us to stay within our own and not to follow the ways of others. So maybe this gives us an opportunity to talk about some mitzvahs derabanan that have to do with the same idea of Jew versus non-Jew relationships, as this mitzvah is all about. As we know, in Maseches Avodah Zarah, there are all different areas of Jew versus non-Jew halachis. The first being Bishul Akum. Bishul Akum is the major one. Bishul Akum, Pas Akum, Yayin, Stam Yenam, Chalav Akum, and Gvinas Akum. Obviously, we don't have time to talk about all of them, but just to give some highlights. And that is, Bishul Akum, first and foremost, what is the reason that Chazal instituted that if a non-Jew cooks something for a Jew on Shabbos, then the Jew is not allowed to eat it, mi de Rabbanan, even if I know all the ingredients are kosher. I know all the ingredients are kosher, still, I'm not allowed to take part in it, says Rashi. Two Rashis. Rashi in Masechet Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Hey says, Mishum Chasnus, intermarriage, right, to keep the religions apart. The way that you get to know somebody, what's the first thing you do? You go out to eat. You go out to eat. Let's go out for a drink. Let's go out to eat. That's how we get to know somebody. That's why Chazal targeted food in various ways in order to keep the religions separate. Kula Mishum Chasnus. There is another Rashi there on Daf Lamed Ches, where Rashi says maybe it's a chash of not kosher, but Pashas, the real Iker reason is chasnus, which means even if I know, I'm watching a non-Jew, and he's cooking for me from start to finish, and I give him all the ingredients, and he does everything, it's still aser mi derabanan. Chazal asered me to take part in anything mevushal by an akum because of the issue of chasnus to keep separate the religions. There are the three major heterim of Bishul Akum. Any one of these heterim exists separately, right? We don't need all three. It's not like borer, we need all three to make it mutter, right? Even one, even just one of these. As we know, the famous principle, number one, ne'achal kamo shehu chai. If something could be eaten raw, then Bishul Akum doesn't apply to it. A non-Jew could warm up a cup of water for me. Make hot water. A non-Jew can bake an apple for me. Right, any of these, why? Because it's nechal kamo shehu chai, can be eaten raw. And therefore it's not considered such a significant activity what the non-Jew is doing. Number one. Number two, the most difficult one to pin down, and that is ola al shulchan malachim. It only applies to foods which are considered chashuvim, that would go up on a king's table. It would be served at a wedding. The problem is now, you go to a smorgasbord, almost every food you can find at a smorgasbord. I mean, what food? If you go, what, it's fleishik? No, you go to a late morning brunch. Right, there's all, everything's there. Eggs, and so it's hard to pin down how that category could be a kula. But the third category is very important. As we know, the category of the entire process has to be done by a non-Jew. If a Jew takes part in the process at all, he stirs it, he puts the food in, anything, so then it is mutter, that's not called Bishul Akum. Big, major machlokes. What about a Jew turning on the fire? What about a Jew turning on the fire, but the non-Jew does the entire process? That is a major machlokes between the Machaber and the Ramah, between Ashkenazim and Svardim, Ashkenazim or Mako, that if a non-Jew, if a Jew turns on the fire, like you go to a pizza store and have non-Jews in there all day, and you just have a Mashkiach that's Yosef and Nechnas, in and out, as long as the Jew turned on the fire in the morning, or if there's a pilot light on the old-fashioned ovens, the Jew lit the pilot light originally, then it is all mutter. It's considered, it is not considered Bishul Akum. So that is a big discussion. Again, and a lot of situations come up with Bishul Akum. What happens, is there Bishul Akum by microwaves? That's a major machlokas aposkim. Different kashrus organizations hold differently about Bishul Akum. My nafkamina, going to a Dunkin' Donuts and getting an egg on a bagel. What happens? A lot of times they make the eggs on a bagel in the microwave. So if it's already pre-made, and now they're just heating it up, so it depends who made it originally. If a Jew made it originally, no problem, because that's just called reheating. But if it's made from scratch in the microwave, Major machlokas haposkim. Again, various kashrus organizations all differently. The Ramaz lashon is eish. So microwave is not eish. It cooks, but there's no fire there. It's a different type of cooking. So therefore, that's what leads to the machlokas haposkim. Again, many different issues that come up. Okay, that's bishul akav. What about the next case? What about pas Yisrael? Pas Yisrael also, and pas akum, made for the same reason, chasnus, in terms of baked goods. Bishul is cooked items, while pas is baked goods. Same halachas apply. So how is it that many people today eat Entenmann's and Stella Doro's and not just the other, the kosher brands? How is that possible? Because Tosfos already says, Tosfos and Meseches Avodah Zarah and Daf Lamed Hey, this gzera of pas akum never took hold. It was a gzera she'ein hatzibur yachol lamod bo. It was too hard. Bread is a staple of society, and Jews traveled all over the place, and sometimes they were in places where they made sure the bread was kosher. They made sure that all the ingredients were kosher, but they couldn't bake it themselves, and they needed it. So it was too hard of a gzera. So Tosfos already says that it is a chumrah. Out of all of them, pas, gvina, bishul, all of them only pas is not a din, it's just the chumrah. And that is why many people partake, as long as it's kosher. The OU gives an OU for pas akum, right? Even though it is the chumrah that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch is to only have pas Yisrael. The Shulchan Aruch does quote that during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you know, one should try to be makbid on pas Yisrael. It's one of the few things that the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Hilchas Aseres Yemei Tshuva. But that's pas, and again, maybe there are other kulas, even if you're machmir l'chatchila, maybe if it's from a commercial baker, so then it's also okay. The problem is only when there's a personal element to it between neighbors. Either way, this is pas. What about cholav? What about milk? Cholav Yisrael, cholav akum. So milk, when you go out to get to know somebody, you don't really, let's go out for a cup of milk. Right, that's not the normal way you get to know somebody. Milk, the gzera for milk, was not because of chasnus. Pashas. That's the only one that's not because of intermarriage, bringing the religious together. That one is because you're worried about something treif inside. Because milk, there are a lot of types of milk. Different sources. And what's the rule? The rule is, hayotzei min ha-tahar tahar, hayotzei min ha-tameh tameh. Milk coming from a kosher source, like a cow or a goat, that or a coconut. Right? Coconuts, cows, and goats are kosher. So that's why milk that comes from them is kosher. But a cow from a pig, I'm sorry, milk from a pig or milk from a camel, right? A camel is not a kosher animal. So milk from a camel is not kosher. That's the rule. So we are worried. Chazal were worried that if you find milk, that milk that was milked, the cow was milked by a non-Jew, maybe he put in some other ingredients, some other milk, that we don't know where it's coming from. So that is why Chazal asered. Chazal asered, unless a Jew witnesses the milking process. Or even if he's sitting in a place where he's not actually seeing it, but if he would stand up, he would be able to see the milking, that's also okay. That second halacha is the basis for the famous Rav Moshe Feinstein. The question is, how could we just go buy milk anywhere in Eretz Yisrael? It's very hard to get Cholav Akum. Right? Everything is Cholav Yisrael. But in Chutz Laaretz, many places, this Cholav Akum. The question is, how could they drink Cholav Akum? It's a halacha, it's not a chumra like pas. The answer is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe, a landmark tshuva, one of his many landmark tshuva, says me'ikra din, chelik aleph simin mem zayin, that there is as if a Jew is there and the being able to stand up at any moment, and that creates a trepidation in the non-Jews milking. So too, the fact that there are FDA regulations and the dairy industry has so many rules, they would be scared to mess around, and therefore you could assume, you have a chazaka to assume that it is all kosher ingredients. That's for chol. Again, this isn't mishum chasnus. If it's chasnus, intermarriage, then you can't have any type of kulas. But cholav is because of non-kosher ingredients. That is why you could have this kula. Again, a big kula from Moshe in any modern country which has dairy regulations based on the government. And if they would put anything else in, they would lose their license. They would go out of business. Moshe says one can rely on it. Yes, of course, famous last words. Moshe says in the end of his tshuva, Baal Nefesh Yachmir. You know, it's a good idea to be Machmir. But Be'ikra Din, it is Mutter. Okay, so these are a couple of issues related to some of these halachas. Yayin is a totally separate area. Stam Yenam. That is already having to do with Avodah Zarah. So as we started, Bishul and Pas have to do with intermarriage. Cholav has to do with non kosher ingredients. Yayin starts off with the Avodah Zarah, the three levels. Yayin, Nesach, Mahamish, wine used in a service that they do in the church in Avodah Zarah. So that's Mahamish Asa Daraisa. Stam Yenam is wine that you don't know. You don't know about it. You don't know what happened to this wine. Maybe it was used, maybe it wasn't used. That's Asur Durabanam. And then you have the third level of Yayin Shel Yisrael, Shenaga Ba'akum, Jew's wine, which a non-Jew touched, so that already is the third level down. Again, each of these are its own discussion, Daraisa, Durabanan, but those are the three levels, and the Chayyadim screams that it's Chayyadim today. The halachas of these halachas of Yayin apply today. There are no coolers that, oh, we don't have the same types of Ovdei Kochavim today like they had in the olden days. No, says the Chayyadim, it applies today. And therefore, we have to be very makpid on all of these halachas. Okay, these are a couple of halachas related to our mitzvah today of, again, Jew-non-Jew relationship in terms of collecting a loan from a non-Jew. Be'ez Hashem, next time we get back to the second mitzvah related to Shemitah's Ksafim in the Shemitah year.